Oh, recording in progress. It didn't give me the prompt. Welcome,
Because the
everyone.
note takers are
The
on, right?
note
So
takers
they've
are on here.
already gotten our permission.
Already gotten our permission. Well, we're gonna dive in and I'm gonna intro us. You guys have already heard from Virginia. Virginia Mooskies is in the room with me today, ladies and ladies, my powerful everyday women and new CEOs of the world. Welcome to the Startup Stories podcast, where the everyday woman and new female business owners are heard, held, and served. I bring you relatable stories to keep you sane, grounded, and growing as you deliver your purpose to the world. And if you are inclined, grow your business. It's hitting a little deeper here, guys. And if you've been listening to the show, you'll notice that I'm adding in the everyday woman part of it. Just want you to know that we see you, we love you, we are you, and we're here to encourage you and help you feel not alone and help you feel that what you're feeling is real. And who else can help me drive this home in a fun and dynamic and maybe even Brooklyn kind of way than
You're a
the one?
noisy gal.
My daughter is a girl. The one, that was a terrible accent. The one and only Virginia Mooskies. Clearly, her and I have a bit of history with each other already. I freaking love this woman. She is so fun. She is so competent. She has built such a big business. I don't even fully comprehend everything that she does, but briefly from some of the official bios, Virginia helps you grow revenue. But beyond that, it's helping you grow impact and grow yourself. And she makes it easy. So there's nothing complicated. There's nothing that requires a master's degree. It's cut to the chase. Here's what works. Let's do it. She is an incredibly mind-blowing referral marketing strategist. She knows everybody who knows everybody. She's a speaker, a podcast host. She hosts six-figure success summits. She's an Ohana leader, which is the Hawaiian word for family. She's a napkin plan creator, which you know, real genius comes from the cocktail napkin. Virginia, were there some last night?
There were. There were. I was with a fellow napkin planner, so we were
Oh
on
boy.
it.
Fire. I mean, I could go on for days, but let's just let her tell her own story and really show you who she is, by just coming on and getting this whole thing going. So welcome, Virginia. It's so great to see you again.
It's good to see you again, too. I just, podcasting is my favorite medium, Mia, and I was just thinking today, I have a coach. His name is Jamie Atkinson. And from time to time, when I get discouraged, I'm like, Jamie, I'm so discouraged. And I'm going to quit. And like, I've been doing this for 30 years. So we all know I'm not going to quit, right? Like, it just, I need a little Attagirl kind of thing. And his Attagirl always sounds like, you ask, that's because you're asking stupid questions. Ask a better question. Just ask a better question. And I'm like, I really hate you. He's like, well, I don't know why you called me then, right? But the question that I asked myself the other day was, how can I get it all done it from 10 to 4, four days a week, and do nothing but create content and talk to people? Like, just talk to people. That's all I want to do. I just want to talk to people. And because I find people really fascinating. And it hasn't quite bubbled up for me yet, but my friend Diane and I went out last night. Had a glass of wine and some Italian food and just got out of the weeds, just elevated ourselves above the daily grind and the mundane and started formulating really good questions about how we want to live and then how do we empower ourselves to get there by empowering others to take a role that fits them, because honestly, not everybody is meant to be an entrepreneur. A lot of people would be a lot better served by being an intrapreneur, meaning you have an entrepreneurial mindset, but not the but a higher level of risk aversion than the like super successful go for it entrepreneur, full-fledged, entrepreneur. And so my new quest is really to develop intrapreneurs, because I think the marketplace is dying. We're dying for colleagues that will come in and bring their brilliance and their genius and their entrepreneurial spirit to the table, where they go out, they solve problems, and they worry about the cleaning up the mess of it later, but they get the problem solved. And so that's kind of, that was what kind of came up for us last night, was, how do we, yeah, we want to create entrepreneurs, but what about intrapreneurs that can have the entrepreneurial experience, grow, have a growth mindset, be given a growth plan, be mentored in business, and then create something. And I just am on the cusp of doing that with someone who came on board with me as my VA, but had a dream of creating her own agency. And I made a read blue ocean strategy. And then I said, come back to me and tell me where's the blue ocean in the VA industry. And she came back with some ideas. I really liked one of them. So we're building one. And so here I have an intrapreneur in my company, in my world, and she'll continue to be an intrapreneur. I'll be the entrepreneur. I'll put in the money. I'll find the clients. I'll build that infrastructure. And she can just do the part that she loves, right? But she's real smart. So that's kind of where my That's kind of where my head and heart are at right now.
This is just so divine timing and so beautiful, especially as, we're listening, whatever stage we are, it's normalizing a place for every role, and that not everybody has to be like a Richard Branson or Princess Diana or, an Oprah. Like, we all are fit together in our personality suited, skill suited, passion suited areas to support one another. And what you're describing sounds to me like this really holistic ecosystem where everything's working together to create a greater whole. And each part is super important. And that to me also takes off a lot of pressure of, competing or trying to keep up or over hustling or pursuing a false dream that's being sold to us through whatever we're consuming on the internet.
So a big part of the challenge of today that I see as a feminine female entrepreneur, like, I don't have a word, some people say fempreneur, but I really, we could go into feminism and all that kind of stuff, but where I really am challenged, and I think, and this has come up for me again, a lot of things are happening recently. I did a session with Dagmar Fleming, and like now, like things are sort of, there was like an opening there that was really kind of interesting. I think that it was men who kind of opened up this internet marketing space. When you start looking at who built Infusionsoft, who built Webinar Jam, who built ClickFunnels, who built the podcasting platforms, like who was in Silicon Valley doing that work? Well, there were some women, but it was predominantly a masculine-driven, a male-driven environment. And men are naturally driven to produce. It really, they their job is to go out and get the raw materials, and our job is to multiply. And so the big challenge that we have as women who are exhausted, a lot of us are just exhausted because we're operating in our masculine, and trying to compete with the men, which, that came out in the 80s with the, I can fry up the bacon, bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let him forget he's a man because I'm a woman, and I'm like, well, if I'm bringing home the bacon, I'm the man. Like, how can I make you feel like a man if I'm doing your job and my job? So there's like a whole lot of, like, just energetically a lot of balance issues there. And so I partner with a lot of men. I love men. I think men are awesome. And but my job is to multiply. So entering into any sort of a joint venture partnership, any sort of a strategic alliance partnership, my job is to multiply. You bring it to me, I'll multiply it for you. And that requires a sense of submission to a masculine energy, to the one who brings it, right? And w as women, we have trouble with that because there aren't a lot of really like men have lost that chivalrous nature. It's been ridiculed out of them. Don't open my door. I can open my own darn door. Don't pull my chair. I can pull out my own chair, you know? And so there's this, for me, there's this imbalance. And so where we're running amok, I think, as women entrepreneurs, is we're coming into the coaching space from a place of nurture and multiplication, but we don't, nobody's bringing us like, nobody's bringing us a bacon. And we're not naturally suited to bring the bacon all the time. And so we hear this like, build a seven-figure business, build an eight-figure business, strive, and that, but it's not in our nature. We're not, you know, we can, like I strive, I have goals, all that. And at 60 years old, for all of you who are not in your third moon, all of you mother queens that are at the head of sitting on the throne at the head of your hearth in your home right now, trying to have it all, I just want you to know that have sitting on the throne of your home and your hearth at the center of the social, at the center of the connected life. Is a blessed place to sit that is no longer, it has been devalued the way masculinity, the way chivalry has been devalued. Like we've, the whole model is like us is whack right now. And I said to somebody yesterday, I was like, look, yeah, the promise of my program is I'll help you get to a quarter of a million in 2 years or less. But if you make 50,000 in 2 years and you're happy, I'm happy too. Like I have to stop thinking like, no, Mia, if you're in my program, I have to force you to do six figures. Well, what if 25,000 and then sitting as the queen of your hearth in the home is good? You just want to get your nails done, have a little business and get your nails done. Well, I can help you do that. And I can help you save for retirement. I can help you with whatever that is. Whatever your goal of multiplication is in your life, your business should support that. It shouldn't be chasing the million-dollar business because million-dollar businesses have million-dollar problems, million-dollar commitments, and million-dollar obligations. And when you look at somebody like Sheryl Sandberg, who wrote Lean In, she's not advocating to have it all. Like, if you're sitting as the queen of your home and your hearth, you are not going to be the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company or a million dollar entrepreneurial venture because let's face it, being the queen is work. You've already got a full-time job. So
And if you're looking for passion and purpose, then look for it as it's suited to you and aligned with the stages of life that you're in is an important lesson too. I was trying to jump over and get to a destination, and I had to work over like the last year to reprogram myself to be where I'm at now while building something that, you know, has a longer lifespan than this current chapter. And those words, Virginia, being the queen of the home and hearth, are so descriptive and so honoring and glorious. And like to sit in that throne and really embody that role is a gift and a fleeting one. I have a young child at home, like, you know, I am soaking her up every day because I know that this is going to drift away into the past when the future gets here. And I don't want to be misleading myself or out of my truest values, values that will stay with me decade after decade, by pursuing something that is one-sided. Right, that is to a single outcome, that is to a sensationalized goal. I want to enjoy my whole life the whole time with the experiences that are available. So if we're sitting at home, everyday woman looking for something more, you can start it, you can start to build it and have it go, like you said, to certain income levels. Maybe they progress as time progresses with you. And, you know, start to shift over. But this is something that's not talked about in sort of the mainstream about building a business. It's like trying to get to a gold medal your first day out, you know?
And I also think, if you're somebody who's out there, especially kind of the coaching consulting service-based industry, and you're able to, with the knowledge, the marketing and the sales, the lead generation, the selling conversation, the offers, that sort of stuff, let's say you're able to manage your life, right, in a holistic way and pull in 2 grand a month. Right. But you need more than that. But in order to get more than that, it throws you off kilter. There are people out there that are further along in their journey, that would kill to pay you $30,000 a year for that delivery support, for the fulfillment support, for the follow-up support, so they can go out and rainmake. And so sometimes just aligning yourself, like right now, I'm aligned with a tremendous rainmaker because I'm a connector, but I've been rehabbing from a really severe illness, and rainmaking is a very masculine energy thing, and I just don't have it. Like all of the initiative, the energy of power and initiative that I've had has really been folded into recovering a body that betrayed me, right? And so going from having strong bones and strong muscles in 17 days to having osteopenia and sarcopenia, which is brittle bones and no muscle tone, and then having to get all that back, that's where all that energy has gone. So then partnering with someone who said, wait a minute, I've got the rainmaker part, but I don't have the fulfillment part. I don't have that part. So we created a strategic alliance in which, they're mentoring me, they're sending me the people, answering questions, helping me, and we're sharing the fruits of our labor. And I'm getting to do the parts that I can relax into, and they're getting to do the parts that they're really good at. And again, power, drive, initiative, a sense of leadership, and really, going out there and doing the thing. And I've learned to sit back and not need that role, not need the power role. And I think that has been a real it's been a gift, it's been a real it's been a very unique experience. And then coupled with a year and a half of plant medicine work, so I've done plant medicine assisted spiritual therapy, and come to this really soft landing place of I know who I am. I'm reparenting all the inner children and really taking a look at, well, what did 7-year-old Virginia learn, and why is she doing that at 60? Like, it makes sense for 7-year-old, but not make sense for 60-year-old. And unwinding all of that and just getting to a real place of peace. And we can lead from a feminine space. But leadership from this feminine space looks a lot like surrender.
Of yourself to the work that you're doing, to the piece of the puzzle that you are, to the supportive team around you, and creating an environment that's not only on your shoulders to maintain. And that's a very different dynamic than the masculine energy of, the be all do all and the repair in our human collective of rebalancing those energies, because women were like, rah, right, and take charge, which really displaced men, which shifted, as you were talking about earlier, the whole balance. Here is an opportunity where you beautifully described we sit in our, like, I don't know, genetic, eternal programming of different life forces to complement and flow together to get more. Like if land doesn't hold the ocean, ocean is nothing, right? When they work together, there's provision and there's abundance and there's more available for the multiplication to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a huge concept. And how do we start to look for ways to be curious about what we're holding on to that's sort of too far into one paradigm in our day to day and start to start that surrender process, which, you've alluded to, takes time.
It does, and there are so many aspects to surrender. So just take this one, for example. How many items do you have in your closet that you're waiting to get back to your pre-baby weight to wear? Or as I've moved forward in my age, I remember being 45 and looking at women who are 60 and saying, I'm never letting myself go. Well, I'm not letting myself go, but myself is going.
You can age well, but you still age.
Myself is just going,
Yeah.
okay? Like it's just going. Well, as my grandson said, I said, why does the water go down? And he says, well, because there's a slope. And I said, but why does the water go down a slope? And he goes, well, gravity, right? So I'm like, well, why are they sloping down? Well, gravity.
Gravity.
So there's just a lot of things that, you say at some point, like, never will I ever. And you find out that you don't get a choice. And so there's some things you do get a choice about, right? I find it really, really fascinating that I can go to the gym and I can work out the way I worked out my whole life and stay the same. But if I miss 3 weeks, I go backwards. But that was never the case. In my 30s, like if I in my 30s, if I took a month off, I just stayed the same. Well, now if I take a month off, it's like I rolled down the hill and I have to climb back up it. So, things shift, things change, and they're out of your control. And all you can do is control yourself and what you can control. So you can look at, how well are you accepting your body and taking responsibility for saying my body is the way it is for two reasons. One, my biology, and then also my activity, the way that I nurture. So there's some nature and there's some nurture. We activate our nature with our nurture. And so where am I not nurturing my body? Where am I not nurturing my mind? Where am I not nurturing my soul? And one of the things that I've had to remember that I did not do when I was younger, Mia, was my motto now is body, mind, spirit, business. So every day that means wake up and what does a body need? It needs oxygen, it needs water, it needs exercise, it needs nutrition, right? My friend calls it bot ownership, oxygen, water, nourishment, exercise, and rest. Okay. So I woke up, so I took care of the rest. Now I got to do the other parts, and that comes first. Then I have to think about my spirit. Okay, how am I connected to source right now? I mean, I went to sleep. So when I went to sleep, I unplugged, right? So now I have to plug back in. Then I need to refresh my mind because my mind is going to be filled with negative thoughts, particularly if you're an anxious person. You've got your, you're having cortisol dumps and all kinds of weird biological things that are happening while you're sleeping. And so, you've got to spark your brain. So what do I do in the morning? Well, in the morning, I pray, I meditate, I read something spiritual, I pull oracle cards and I journal, and then I read something intellectual, something that gets my mind focused. So, you're taking care of all of that. And then you've got to, then once all of that's in place, you can start delivering to others. You can start delivering to your family. You can start delivering to your business. You can start delivering to, your volunteer work. Whatever it is that that you are multiplying, whether you're multiplying by raising effective adults, which is multiplying effective adults in the humanity, right? Or you're
That is such
multiplying
a
things for
great
different
term
recipes.
for parenting too, by the way.
Listen.
Effective adults. Yeah, that is a completely different spin and an important one on what we're doing in our house. Yeah, 100%. Go on. This is
I
fire.
saw a TikTok that I thought was really interesting. That it came from a Bible verse, and I can't remember the Bible verse, but the thing about the Bible, the verse was something like, "Blessed is he who finds a wife." And the pastor is saying, he didn't say, "Blessed is a man who finds a woman, marries her, and makes her a wife." He said, "Blessed is a man who finds a wife. Blessed is a man who finds a wife." That means found a wife and then took her as his. But he found the wife. He found that. So I was listening to that TikTok and having a conversation with my daughter, who is she's 27. She's a single mom of a 7-year-old boy. And we were having that conversation, and she looks at me and she goes, "Precisely. I'm a single mother, and I'm responsible for raising a man that doesn't create single mothers. I'm creating a husband. I'm creating a man. I'm creating someone who takes initiative and takes out the trash. I'm creating someone that exercises power and selflessness. This is what I'm creating in this person, because I didn't choose that person for like I didn't choose that person. She didn't marry this person, you know. She's like, I didn't choose that. And but now I got to raise that. And you know, I did raise my girls to be wives. I raised them to be able to surrender and to trust, but I also raised them as to have discernment. So one of the things that's also, and I'm pulling from the Judeo-Christian tradition on this, right? But it shows up in lots of traditions. When God made Eve, he called her Ezer. I will make an Ezer for Adam. The word Ezer is used like 14 or 16 times in the Bible. Twice it refers to Eve. 14 times it refers to God's relationship to Israel. God says to the Israelites, "I am Ezer. I will be your Ezer." And it translates as su suitable helper, but what it really means is a wingman. It means like, so if you're a pilot, you're a fighter pilot in the Air Force, and I live by an Air Force base, right? You're flying point.
Sweet.
And you have a field of vision, and it's a limited field of vision. What are your wingmen supposed to do? They are supposed to complete your field of vision. So when a fighter pilot is checking in with his wingmen when they're about to engage, right? The wingmen say, "Got your six." And what that means is, I see behind you. I know what's going on behind you. I know 6 o'clock. You see noon.
Yeah,
You
on the
see
clock.
square 12 o'clock, right? And you might be able to see 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock, but I got your six, which means I've got that space
The
behind
back
you.
end.
And that is who we are as women, right? It doesn't mean you lie down and just, you know, "Woman, get me a beer," right? You don't lie down and take it. You have more information. You have more information than the leader when you're the follower. You see what's behind the leader. You can see what's around the leader, but the leader has to focus forward. So I
And
think that,
trust the back end to fill in and bring up the rear. And
right.
that, like, covered in goosebumps. But when you talk about surrender and you put it in that context, it really places you in your divine purpose roles and allows you just to see with greater clarity. We're not in a competition, we're in a complement. To complete, the circle shape together, the two
Right.
pieces to make the whole. That is very well illustrated and described. And if we can stop trying to so-called keep up and run and hustle and prove. F, are you proving to? For what? B, what you're meant to be. That's the ultimate surrender. That's the ultimate gift. That's where the returns will multiply beyond your wildest dreams because you're not forcing anything. You're being in your natural and perfect place and playing that role that is necessary. If there's nobody behind the leader, he or she is not a leader.
They're blind. Yeah. A leader with no followers is a guy taking a walk.
Like, right?
I mean, and I think the real challenge of femininity, and I give my friend Scott Conway a lot of credit for that, for all of this, because this really draws from years, 50 years of philosophy that he has gleaned from being a grandmaster in martial arts and being a Christian pastor and a historian and really understanding Eastern philosophy. And he's got this really holistic way of looking at things. And I think that when it comes to business, we can go ahead and be the leader, but keep this in mind. If you're the leader and you're out there on your own, that means you're walking around in circles. You're like, you have to constantly be circling your head to watch the clock. The easiest way to be a leader is to stick to your 120 degree vision and understand that you need people behind you taking care of 240 degrees of insight. And when you're able to rely, to rest and rely on the wise counsel of others, then that's when things really kind of take flight. But if you're the kind of leader that will not allow an ezer kenegdos, a wingman, a suitable helper, to provide insight and to question, to ask, like, what information are you basing that decision on? Have you considered these three things? I mean, think about, I'm into Grey's Anatomy right now. I'm binge
Okay.
watching. You know, there isn't a surgeon in the room ever in that series, which means I'm pretty sure it's fairly medically correct, right? There's a lead surgeon, but there's a bunch of residents and a bunch of interns and a bunch of surgical nurses and an anesthesiologist, and there's a whole lot of people making that surgery happen. It's not
One person show.
the one person, right? And your job, when you're not the lead surgeon, is to spot the bleed, is to spot the problem, is to see the details, because the surgeon is looking at one spot and there's all this other stuff going on that they can't see. But if that surgeon doesn't have ears to hear, right? And
That
the
patient's at risk.
self-control to stop and listen, things can go very badly. And so I think there's a lot of symbiotic opportunity for that. But kind of back to the model, I just think we've been it's not that we've been sold. It's like, you know, it's what we see. We see the masculine model. The masculine model builds. The masculine model, you know, creates and generates. It's a generative model. Our job is to multiply. And so we forget, like, that we have a different model. We have a different way. It's not better or worse.
Or
It's
better, yeah,
yeah,
but
it's just
it's
we just have
also necessary
we have a
for.
different way, and we women work better as a collective. And so I believe, like, if you're building your business, that you really need to be in a collective community of people, and that you need to surround yourself with those people who are lending their strengths to you when you need them, and then you need to be lending your strengths to them as well. And that is how women across time have worked. We have raised our children in community. We have cooked our meals and cleaned our houses and spent time in the red tent. And that is what we have always done. And I believe that business for women should be a much more community-based, collaborative-based opportunity and process.
Again, where you take the pressure off yourself and you're contributing to something that somebody else is also contributing for mutual benefit. And that is where the multiplication happens, right? Like the beautiful fable of stone soup. Are you familiar with the story, right? So, story time, listeners, real quick. There's a, what was he called? Sort of like
He's
a
a
traveler,
pilgrim. He's a
pilgrim.
pilgrim.
Pilgrim, the one storybook has a fun word for it. Anyway,
I
and
heard
so he's
an old man entered a
an
village.
old man came to a village and he was hungry. And he was asking individuals if they had anything to spare, and they said no. And then he came up with an idea to collect the different bits and put them together. So he found a stone and went around and said, "Do you have a pot?" "Yes." "Well, I'm making stone soup. Can we use your pot?" "Yes." "Do you have water? Do you have potato?" And everybody brought their little bits, which on their own don't amount to so-called much, but when put together, had more soup than they needed to feed the village, right? And that's the real beautiful concept of what's happening here. And what I love so much for the everyday woman, for the new female aspiring CEO, whatever type of service really you have that you want to share, is that there is a place and a space for you to fit perfectly and fulfill that. And it is not as a silo. It is not as a do-it-all. It is not all on your shoulders. It is you as part of the rest. And that is a beautiful surrender. And that is a beautiful release to do it without feeling constricted or, again, pressurized or any of that is from a place of beingness and a place of contributing.
There's also, the caveat to that is when you get into the marketplace, to keep in mind that the marketplace is commerce, and commerce is a masculine energy. It's about initiative and trade, and it's political in nature. And so we do have to be able, it's not that women don't have that, it's that we need to use it one third, two thirds, right? So we still need it. We just not need to not be three quarters, one quarter, or 90% in our masculine and 10% in our feminine. One of the really important things when you are figuring out a business, if I might, there are like six essential things to do as a woman, I think, that will make all the difference in being as successful as you want to be, and as you have time and energy for. The first one is really defining your tribe. So, as women, if you live in a subdivision, you well know that when the kids are all out on their street, some mom's watching all the kids, right? Somebody's watching all the kids, but not really. See, some mom has all the little itty bitties that don't belong on the street. Some mom is watching the elementary school kids. Nobody's watching the middle schoolers, but we should. And the teenagers are doing their own thing, and somebody's out there discovering what all the crazy teenagers. I was the one that discovered what all the crazy teenagers were doing and saying, "Let me just tell you how this can play out. Like, you can keep doing it if you want to, but it's gonna get ugly," And so each one of those sets of children need different skill sets. So I have a particularly good skill set for teenagers. I'm not real good with the toddler thing. Like, you can keep them until they're 15 and smelly and they need deodorant. Like, that's my jam. But I'm not as good at the other places, but that's because some mothers are really good at that. So you got to define your tribe. And Seth Godin says it helps if you're one of them, right? It helps if you've been there, done that, if you're part of that. So when you're looking at marketing, you want to define that sector that they look at you and say, "I want to be you." Like, I'm who you used to be, And I want to be who you are now. That's your tribe. And when you can build a tribe and you are vulnerable and you are open in your femininity and saying, this is who I used to be. And this is how I used to struggle. And through years of trials and years of tribulation and many attempts and many, many failures, I've consolidated all that experience into a pathway that can get you there a little faster. Because that's what we do as mothers. How do we teach our children? We teach them, we let them struggle so they learn some resilience, but we can show them an easier way. And then they can work to master those easier ways, right? Then you've got to really understand how to become a trusted voice. And the way you become a trusted voice is that you are able to mirror back to people exactly what they say. So if I'm a chiropractor, I'm not going to talk about how I can fix your subluxations. I'm going to talk about how you're going to be able to carry your grandbaby. I'm going to talk about how you're going to be able to move through the world pain-free. I'm going to talk about the things that you want to accomplish. If I'm a financial advisor, I'm going to tell you that you're going to be able to leave a legacy to those grandchildren. And people who don't give a rat's tail about a legacy for their children won't be your client, and that's okay. Right? Because you want people that have your values, your vision, your mission, that they share that with you because they're pleasurable to work with and they build community very quickly. Then you want to look at and you want to build your team. You want to say, like, okay, who does business with them in ways that I don't? So if I'm a financial advisor, maybe I want to bring an accountant into my world and create a friendship and a relationship with that accountant so that I can do the financial planning for their clients and they can do the accounting for my clients. Maybe I need an estate planning attorney and I can do the retirement planning and the estate attorney can put that all in a trust, right? So you start thinking about who's that team. And but when you're looking at your team, you know, not every attorney, not every accountant. I want attorneys and accountants who share my vision, share my mission, share my values, are aligned with me, and have resources, networks, and knowledge that strengthen me in areas where I don't feel quite as adept or where I don't quite have that level of mastery. Because we cannot be all of it. John Maxwell says, if you're a two or a three, buy it or borrow it because you're not getting more than a five, and nobody pays for mediocre. No man ever said, "Hey, honey, let's go out and have a mediocre dinner, watch a mediocre movie, and go home and make some mediocre whoopee." It never happened. It never will. No one will buy that. So you've got to figure out where are you an eight and make your eight a 10, and then surround yourself with a team of people who have your ideal client in front of them all the time and have the resources, knowledge, and networks that they can add to your ohana, to your community that make it stronger. Then you've got to figure out, once you've gotten all that, you need to figure out what tools do I give this people so they can speak knowledgeably about me? Do I need an introduction email? Do I need a marketing one sheet? Do I have a website? Is it a podcast? Where am I sending people to? What do I want those team members to do on my behalf? What questions should they ask? What statements should they make? And I'm going to use those tools to train those people, and I'm going to track the results that we get. And so together, we're going to work in tandem to create something that's stone soup, way bigger, way more profitable, way more contributive, and way more transformational than we could do just by ourselves. And that is the process by which we can build a business of substance that doesn't burn us out, because we are operating one third planning, goal setting, direction, right? We're one third there, but the rest of it's about community and, you know, the grocery list and right? You're running your community like you run your household. And when you bring that to the table, it's just not so damn hard.
That's right. Yeah. Beautifully, again, beautifully described, Virginia. You're like on fire today. So
I know. I'm so
activated.
happy.
Oh, like such deep wisdom coming out and really, describing it in a way that can make sense every day. And so if we're starting out a business, is think like a bit of reverse engineering as to how am I going to get to this outcome while living in this lifestyle, this energetic capacity, and this vision to create it through, right? So you can tie both ends together and now start to fill in the blanks and gauge your growth and your strategy and your partnerships towards a cumulative outcome.
Yeah, and I don't know how much more time we have, but I have one more thing I want to share because
Bring
it's
it.
it just my friend Scott and I were at a at an event in Vegas, and oftentimes he'll talk about like the land of infinite money, like if there's just money everywhere. And I said, well, what would you use the money for? Like if you live in the land of infinite money, what would you do with it? And he's like, oh, I would do like all these luxury, like be I would surround myself with beauty and elegance and luxury. And I'm like, we can do that without the land of infinite money. And he said, oh, you know what, you're right. We were walking through the Bellagio and I just said, just stop. We are standing in the lobby of the Bellagio. And if you've ever been there is a ceiling with Chihuly glass, like this beautiful, exquisite artwork. There's artwork everywhere. There's this conservatory where they build this beautiful display from flowers and stones and natural materials. And I said, do you see that on the cheap, we got ourselves to Vegas. He drove, I got a cheapo flight. We had some points and we just like, it was pretty much, we got our butts there for nothing, got in a condo. I'm like cooking ramen, So we got there on the cheapo, but we're standing in the midst of luxury. And I said, see, we don't really need infinite money. We need to know what it's for. And then we can just manifest it and see it everywhere it is. And he said to me, called me yesterday, he goes, you're not gonna believe this. And I said, what? He said, I just ran into an old friend. Turns out he is a private jet pilot. And he said, hey, the next time I'm flying back empty somewhere, I'll let you know where I am. And if you want to ride in a private jet, you can jump in my private jet. And I'm thinking, look at this, like that's it. Like, do you want to ride in a private jet? Great. Like, that's luxury. That's pretty cool. And I've got a friend who flies a helicopter. He's like, I'll totally take you up in a helicopter. So there's so many experiences that we can have, but we get very myopically focused on, I got to make the money so I can have the thing. What if you could just have the thing? What if you could just have the ex how about not even have the thing? What if you could just have the experience
Experience.
of the thing?
Which
What if
is the thing, right? Because owning a helicopter is a whole other set of logistics. Like you said, $1 million business, $1 million problems, right? But having access to a helicopter is leverage and in return, opportunity. And then it gets passed around and again creates a much more robust and, like you were alluding to, sustainable, ongoing adventure that isn't, again, all on your own back.
And every experience you have, I saw this the other day. It was somebody talking about the fact that everything you buy will get sold in an estate sale or thrown in the trash can. Everything you experience will run through your mind until your last breath. And so it is your experiences that you are going to that are going to duplicate. So every time you think of an experience that you had, you can have it again, right? I will forever be in awe of my 7-year-old grandson playing in a fountain, making a mess of water, and me saying, why is that water going downhill? Because there's a slope. So what? Well, gravity. That moment, I was like, God, he's so smart. And I was so, God, he's so smart. He's so great. Like that afternoon that I spent with him will forever be etched in my heart. And it cost me a membership at our botanical garden and $5 of fish food. Like it was, but it was a wonderful, luxurious expense. So when you're thinking about building your business, if you want to get to a multi six figure business, great. if you're just if, but if you're struggling, how about if you just step back and say, well, what might be a next step that would allow me to experience a thing that I'm looking to experience? And do I really need money to do that? Maybe I need community to do that. Maybe someone has that that they'd be willing to give me because they got so much of it, they don't need it. And it would be an honor for them to see that being put to good use. You just don't know. And there's so much abundance out there. And when we're focused on gotta make $1 million, gotta have a seven-figure business, gotta have a seven-figure business, gotta have a six-figure business, I gotta do that, and then I'll matter. Trust me when I tell you, I've had six figures, I've had seven figures, I've lost six figures, I've lost seven figures. You know what? None of it made me any happier. And none of it took anything away from me. In fact, my losses, I think, are pretty much cooler than any gain that I've ever made. So, it's not worth the chase. It's not worth the chase. This is an act of art. It's an act of creation. It's what we do. It's an act of gestation and an act of creation. So, you can pursue it if that's what you want to create. But if you're creating it because you want some elusive experience or some elusive feeling or some elusive external validation, you're going to get there and it's just not going to be all that good.
Not going to
It's
fulfill
like
you.
looking at a yummy cheesecake, but they forgot to put the sugar.
Right.
So you look at it and you're like, oh, that looks so good. And then you taste it and you're like, eh.
Well said.
It looks great, but it doesn't, it don't taste like that, you guys. It just doesn't all the time. If you're looking at the wrong thing, it doesn't taste good.
Yeah,
So.
this is the true alignment of self to really create your life and your life beyond any individual so-called achievement, right? Your life tapestry, which you beautifully illustrated with the experiences that stay in your heart and your soul, that is the journey. And these other things can support that and contribute to it. But on your last breath, you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, $1 million business. You're going to think about the
That's
impact, the
why I have all
legacy.
these credit cards.
Yeah.
So
Well,
glad I drove that
Virginia,
car, whatever.
where do we find you? Where do we follow you? Where do we stay hooked on this juice, baby?
I'm always on LinkedIn. So my goal really is to build my LinkedIn empire. I find Facebook to be just a little too divisive right now. It's not a place that I hang out. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I guess that'll be in the show notes. But it's Virginia, MuzQuiz. And if you'd like to get a little more information about those six elements that I talked about, the tribe and the trusted advisor status and all that, you can go to masterconnectors.com/blueprint and download my business by referral blueprint. And once you do that, you'll get a couple of emails that will tell you all the other ways that you can connect and engage in our community and get the support and the recognition and the ohana, the aloha spirit that you deserve.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, and I mean, being in your vortex, once you get on that ride, there's no getting off, and it's amazing. And I love it, and I'm thrilled to be part of all of that. So, thanks for this incredibly wise and, very real conversation of encouragement and like possibility, like how real it is, how right in front of us it is, Virginia. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.